Mic 12. Okay, praise the Lord. Can you believe it's been a year today since we have been here a year ago? And the Lord is just blessed, and the Lord's just doing amazing work here. And we are just so excited to be here. We thank y'all for all the encouragement y'all have been to us and are to us, not just have been, but you are to us, a great encouragement. And thank you, Pastor, for the opportunity to preach tonight. I'd like to preach to you one verse. If you take your Bibles and turn to 1 John chapter 3, 1 John chapter 3. It's amazing truth that I find here in John. It's a recurring truth. It's something that happens time and time again through the book of John. John is trying to reaffirm into us that we can know for sure that we are born again believers and on our way to heaven. Recently, in the past couple weeks, we have been out door knocking, and more people I find, more people I see, more people I witness to have a feeling that, and I have an understanding. I even had somebody say this to me, and I told her, I know for sure that if I die today, I go to heaven. She said, you are crazy. She said, how can you know for sure? I said, ma'am, because the Bible says I can. The Bible claims it. And then she wants to get into this doctrinal statements and stuff. And it just shows me the watered down of the Word of God and the philosophy of God's Word being preached today. We can know for sure. God did not leave us here to question whether if we are saved or if we are not are saved. God has not left us to go back and forth and be like the Bible says in James, a wave back and forth. Well, I think I'm saved. Oh, well, I don't feel saved today, but I think I'm saved because I've done this, but I don't feel like I'm saved because I've done this. God did not leave us here to question salvation. He did not leave us here to question salvation in our own life. Now, don't get me wrong. I think we need to constantly recognize and constantly go into our hearts and see and try our hearts, but God can confirm into us, and God gives us the comforter, and God gives us the Holy Spirit of God to confirm into us that we are born again believers. We don't have to waver. We don't have to get into that battle of the devil's doubt. We don't have to get into that trickery that the devil doubts and wants to bring that doubt into our life constantly. A lot of times I find Christians that are young Christians, and some are just starting their Christian walk. They are wavering back and forth whether if they are saved or not. Then I find Christians that have gotten away from God's word, and then they say, well, am I truly a Christian? We'll find here in this passage of scripture, John says that we know. If you look in verse 14, John chapter 1 John chapter 3, verse 14, the Bible says, we know that we have passed from death unto life. I'd like to preach to you for a little bit just from that saying, that we have passed from death unto life. Father, we love you. We thank you for the word of God and how quick and powerful and how sharp it is. And Lord, we know that it's because of your word and your word going forth in this world that we can move forward, Father. I pray tonight, Lord, that you'll work in our hearts through the simple truth about we can know, we can have that assurance in our hearts. We don't have to wayward. We don't have to be wayward back and forth, but we can rest assured that if we die today, we'll go to heaven. But Lord, help us to see as Christians from this portion of scripture, not just the fact of the insurance of salvation, but the fact of what you have given to us through this passage of scripture. Just this simple truth, Father, that we have passed from death into life. Lord, I pray that you'll remove me out of the way and that you'll show forth to your people tonight. And Lord, give them something from the word of God that they can take away and they can apply to their lives tonight. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. So we find here that there is something interesting. If you go through the book of 1 John and you go through chapter 1 and then chapter 2 and then you come to chapter 3, there's more than almost 20 incidents when John says, we know. We know is not a past tense. We know is not even a future tense. We know is a present tense. We can know for sure that if we die today, that we'll go to heaven. The Bible says we have passed from death unto life. Notice this first thing as a born-again believer. John's writing to Christians. John is writing to believers. In this day, in this time, there's agnostic believers, agnostic people. They believe that there was a God. They were not atheists. They were agnostic. They believe that there was a God, but they believe that God was just so holy, so righteous, and so much truth and so much holy about him that we can't have a personal relationship with him. That philosophy has trickled down through centuries and is in our nation today. Many people don't think that we can have a personal relationship with God. That's what these people in the book of John believed. But John was trying to reaffirm to the Christian believers, that second generation of Christians, this is now past. The first generation is now past. John is writing at the end of his life. He's barking on the 100-year mark, the first century mark. He's barking on that mark of his life, and he's talking to second Christians basically in a generation. They were wavering. They were going through this mindset. Can I know or can I not know? But here John gives us three things out of that first simple phrase, that we know we have passed from death unto life. Number one, as a born-again believer, we know that we were once dead. If there was ever a passing from death unto life, we have to understand at first we were once dead. That dead doesn't mean physically dead. That dead is a spiritual death. I've heard many people talk about this, and when going to Bible college and having many different friends in college, and most of them grew up in church, most of them were pastors' kids, so most of them were second and third generations. Most of them would say, I was, from the day that I was conceived until now, I have been in church. All their lives they have been in church. I've had many of them, pastors' kids, come and talk to me, and I've been in church all my life, Brother Paul, and I've been in church all my life, and I've heard the gospel preached so many times, but they were never truly born again. If you set a person that has gone to church for all their lives, and you set them down right here, then you take a person that has been unchurched all their life and set them down right here. If neither of them have never confessed their sins and put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, though one may look the part, inside, he is dead. He is not alive. The same as this Christian, or this person that, as we would say, were born into a Christian family, if he's never trusted Christ for himself, he is dead. The same thing as this person that has never went to church all their lives and they bark the doors of church, themselves inside is dead. There is no life here. Yes, has been born into a Christian family, but they never truly trusted Christ as their personal Savior. The same death is here, is the same. They're both dead. My son is only a year and a half old. I don't have to train my son to do what's bad. I don't have to train my son to lie to me. I don't have to train my son to look at something after I tell him not to do it and do it. I don't have to train my son to talk bad or talk back to their mom and dad. I don't have to train my son to do that. That is in his very nature. Being dead, this passage of scripture, just this one verse, is talking about two different natures. We're going to deal with the first one. The first one was a flesh nature. The nature of a dead nature. The nature that a person has never been regenerate, never been born again. That nature is still dead. It is the flesh neighbor, Nicodemus. Nicodemus came to Jesus by night, and Nicodemus was coming to Jesus, and he even asked, you know, about who God, who Christ was, and we know that it couldn't be nobody else but God that sent him. And then Jesus said an interesting statement to Nicodemus, that he must be born again. That's not talking about the first birth. That's talking about the second birth. As a born-again believer, we need to understand and we need to lay in our hearts that if we've confessed our sins and put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, we can rest assured at one time we were dead. We were lost, we were undone, we were out without hope. We were under the wrath of God, under God's condemnation. There was already wrath poured out. A lost person doesn't receive the wrath after he dies. The wrath is laid upon him already. That gives us, as born-again believers, some encouragement. If we know that we were once dead, how much more of a burden does it put on our hearts to reach those that are still dead? We're living in a society with 8 billion people in it. Only 2% or 20%, 2 billion of that 8 billion claim themselves to be Christians or claim themselves to be saved. Half of those are Catholics, and the other half are other religions. There's only a few percentage of them that would ever confess Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. We have a world that is lost and without hope, but we need some people that know that they are born again because once they were dead. I don't know about you, but that encouraged my heart to reach those that are still dead. If it wasn't that soul winner that came to me 8 years ago, I'd still be dead. I'd still be dead in my sins. But because God brought a soul winner to my life, and through the Holy Spirit of God using him, I confessed my sins and I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I was dead, but now I am alive. So we have this truth that we know that at least once we were dead. But we also know in this passage of scripture, we have passed. That gives us a reference. We can know that there's a passage. In other words, we can know that there's a way. We know if you are born again believers under the sound of my voice, if you've confessed your sins and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you know that there is a way. We were once dead, but God gave us a passage. We have went from death unto life through a passage, through a way. Can I tell you who that way is? That way is Jesus Christ. He's the one that came and bore our sins upon him on Calvary's cross. The Bible says we have passed. Christ came in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. God sent his only begotten son to come to this world and to die for our sins on Calvary's cross. And most of the time we say Christ is just in the New Testament. Christ is not just in the New Testament. Christ is through the whole Bible. In Genesis, he is the seed of the woman. In Exodus, he's the Passover lamb. In Leviticus, he's the high priest. And in Numbers, he's the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. In Deuteronomy, he's the prophet like Moses. And Joshua, he's the captain of our salvation. And Joshua, he's the judge and the lawgiver. In Ruth, he's the kinsman redeemer. In Samuel, in 1st and 2nd Samuel, he's the trusted prophet. In 1st and 2nd Kings and 1st and 2nd Chronicles, he's the reigning king. In Ezra, he's the faithful scribe. In Nehemiah, he's the rebuilder. In Esther, he is the advocate. In Job, he's the ever-living redeemer. In Psalms, he is the shepherd. In Proverbs, he is the wisdom. He is wisdom. In Ecclesiastes, he's the hope of resurrection. In Song of Solomon, he's the bridegroom. In Isaiah, he's the suffering servant. In Jeremiah, he's the righteous that was wronged. In Lamentations, he was the weeping prophet. In Ezekiel, he was the one that was right to rule. In Daniel, he was the fourth man that walked in the furnace. In Hosea, he was the faithful husbandman. And in Joel, he was the baptizer. In Amos, he was the burden bearer. In Obadiah, he was the mighty to save. In Jonah, he was the forgiving God. And in Micah, he was the one that brings good news. In Nahum, he's the avenger. In Habakkuk, he's the great evangelist. In Zephaniah, he's the restorer of the remnant. In Haggai, he's the cleaning fountain. In Zechariah, he's the pierced son. In Malachi, he's the son of righteousness. In Matthew, he's the Emmanuel, God with us. In Mark, he's the miracle worker. In Luke, he's the son of man. In John, he's the son of God. In Acts, he's the ascended Lord. And in Romans, he is the justifier. In 1 Corinthians, he's the resurrection. In 2 Corinthians, he's the God of all comfort. In Galatians, he's the one who sets us free. In Ephesians, he's the one who is the head of the church. In Philippians, he's the joy and he's our joy. In Colossians, he's the fullness of the Godhead. In 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, he is our hope. In 1st and 2nd Timothy, he is our mediator between God and man. In Titus, he's the blessed hope. In Philemon, he's the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. In Hebrews, he is the blood that washeth away our sins. In James, he is the great physician. In 1st and 2nd Peter, he's our example. In 1st and 2nd and 3rd John, he's our everlasting love. And in Revelations, he is the coming king. And we know that our Lord is through every part of the scripture because it is revealed that the way to heaven from passing from death into life is Christ himself. He is the one that came over 2,000 years ago and walked this earth perfect, and he was born of a virgin, and he came and he lived for 33 and a half years. 30 years he started his ministry. When pastor preached this morning, when he was baptized, his ministry was started. It was gone forth. It was shown that he was the Messiah. When the angel or the prophecy of the dove descending down, the Holy Spirit of God descending down like a dove upon Jesus Christ, that shows that his ministry was going to start, which was prophesied in the Old Testament. Jesus came over 2,000 years ago, and he bore our sin, a perfect lamb. The Bible says he was the propitiation for our sins, the perfect atoning sacrifice for our sins. God is not just wrapped up in our own little box. We like to put God in a four corner. God is not in that four corners. The only thing God is bound by is his word. God can use every means to lead people to Christ. God used every means in the New Testament, and we saw great revivals. God used means that we possibly can't understand because he uses things that confound the wise to bring those things that he wants done. God is long-suffering. He's not willing that any should perish. And because you and I were once dead, we understand the passage that we went was the way of the cross. We first recognized that we were sinners, that we were lost and undone. We recognize that we had sinned against a holy and righteous God. We sinned against his very nature because of our sin and our sinful nature. We have sinned against God himself. We had to recognize that we were sinners. And then we had to recognize that there was a payment to be paid for our sins. And that payment, what the Bible says, for the wages of sin, what we earned was death. That first nature where we were at, we were once dead. We earned to stay there. We didn't earn heaven. We didn't work our way into heaven. What we earned because of our sin was to die and go to hell, forever separated from the loving Father. So we had to recognize that we were sinners. That was the first part of the way. The second part of the way, we had to recognize that our sin had to be paid for and dealt with. Thirdly, we recognize that God sent his only begotten Son to pay for our sins. But God committed his love towards us in that we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. For the wages of sin is death, but I love it. I love the word but. Some people don't like that word. Some people don't like conjunctions. But in that verse, I love that word, but God committed his love towards us, that in while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. We had to recognize that we were lost and sinners. We had to recognize that our sin had to be dealt with. And when we recognized that, we understood that God sent his son to die. We had to recognize that there was a payment already paid for us through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And then we had to repent of our sin and put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but that's the way that I came. Now, I understand it might not have happened that exact way. Not every person does it every way the same way. There is many different ways you can lead people to Christ. But they first must recognize that they are sinners. Secondly, they must recognize that the sin has to be dealt with. And they must understand, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that their sin was already paid for if they would just confess their sins and put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. That was the way. That was the passage that we've taken from death unto life, was the shed blood of Jesus Christ. It was a soul winner coming to us and showing us from the word of God that we were lost. How much more, because we know the way, does that work in our hearts to lead others through that way? God has burdened my heart for the lost, and recently I've been knocking on a lot of doors, and I've been knocking on a lot of doors ever since I've been here. I've tried to stay up with it, knocking on doors. And I meet a lot of different people. Well, at first, I started just inviting people to church. And then I've been praying, God, lead me some soul that I can lead to the Lord. And I was sitting there talking to a lady and knocking on her door. This just happened a couple months ago. And God smacked me right on the back of the head. Have you ever had that happen? God just, what are you doing? You know, all those times God had already opened up those doors for me. All I did was just invite him to church. But I had the opportunity to share the gospel with them. That was the open door that God was giving me. Listen, we have a way. We have been given that way. And if you're a born-again believer under the sound of my voice, you know that way. Why would we keep that way for ourselves? Why would we bottle it in and take everything in and give nothing out? Why would we be Dead Sea Christians? Everything flows into this Dead Sea and nothing flows out. God has given to us the way because we have confessed our sins and we have come to know Christ as our personal Savior, and we have the way through the scriptures, through the word of God. How much more does that work on our hearts to give that way to other people? Maybe God has laid somebody on your heart right now that you know is lost. I know there's many people that run them through my mind right now that is lost. But you know what the thing is? I was there at one time. I was dead in my trespasses and sins. I was without hope, without comfort, with the wrath of God abiding upon me. But God was merciful, and because of the grace of God, he gave me a way to himself. Why am I keeping that way to myself? Why am I not going out and telling others? Why am I not giving that way that I came to know Christ to other people? The Bible says, even Pastor mentioned it this morning, without the remission of sin, or without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. We may have come by different soul winners. We may have come by different kind of ways of soul winning, but we came through the same way, and that was the blood of Christ. So we can know for sure that as born-again believers, we have went from death and we've made a passage. Thirdly, we know that we have life. Life is not in ourselves. Life is not in us, but life is manifested in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the life. He said in John that he came to give life and life more abundantly. That's the reason why Christ came, was to give the dead life. To give the dead a possible chance to have life. We know not everybody's going to come to know Christ as their personal Savior. We understand that. But we'll have to stand before God and have the blood of those that we have never witnessed to on our hands. Having that way already, and we have never witnessed to them. We have that life. We have that blessed life that brings such great joy to us. He is the one that brings that joy. He's the one that gives us it. It's Christ himself. He came into the world to give us life. And God has not left us here to question, but he's not left us here to waver. He has left us here to put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ and have that assurance in our hearts that we have passed from death unto life because of what Christ has done on Calvary's cross. That life is not a future tense. That we know that life that we have is not future tense. It's present possession. We don't get life one day. We have life if we trust to Christ as our personal Savior. We have came through that way, and through that way is the blood of Jesus Christ. Let me ask this question and I'll close. We know that we have passed from death unto life. We know that we were once lost and undone and hell-deserving sinners. But God gave us a passage and gave us a way. And that way was through the cross. And then from that way, he has given to us life. And not only life, but life more abundantly. Why would I want to keep that in for myself? Why would I want to tell other people about that? Father, we love you. We thank you for the word of God. Lord, the best that I know how through this simple